Okay. Our next agenda item is a very special item, I think, and it's entitled Doing Our Fair Share and Then Some. And we in South Carolina know, who used to say that a bunch to us all the time. As you know, last November, Donald Capps passed away, and he was a tremendous leader here in the state, mentor, and just a person who just breathed federation and so forth, and was so committed to the organization and to the movement. I had the pleasure of knowing Dr. Capps when I first came to South Carolina since 1975, and I learned a lot from him, and I was very honored to be a pallbearer and speak at his funeral. This morning we have Parnell Diggs, who is the immediate past president of the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina, and also is an administrative law judge for its SSA. Parnell worked very closely with Mr. Capps, especially when Parnell joined the Federation. Matter of fact, I'll probably tell the story, but that's probably one of the first few people Parnell met when he first walked into this Federation Center back in the late 1980s. Parnell, I had the pleasure of working with Parnell for 15 years when Parnell was president. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and he, wonderful colleague, but more importantly, a wonderful friend. So let's give our attention to the Honorable Parnell Diggs.
The leader of the band is tired and his eyes are growing old. But his blood runs through my instrument and his song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band.
Well, thank you so much, President Frank. Good morning, fellow Federationists, my Federation family, and guests who are tuned in across the state and across the nation. I'm coming to you live from the comfort of my home here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Those of you who have been to conventions in South Carolina through the years will recall that I often make presentations from a podium, and I'm often reading a prepared speech in Braille. But I'm not doing that today. I'm sitting here holding a cup of coffee, and I thought that this morning it'd be appropriate to have a coffee talk about a person who really who has been the leader of the band in South Carolina for a long time. And that would be Donald Capps. As Frank indicated, I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Capps for the first time in 1989. It was at a membership banquet being held in Columbia. And I was invited to come to the Federation Center. And at that time, Dr. Capps was 60 years old. And he was there at the door when I walked in. And he was the first person to greet me that night. He said, good evening, Don Capps. Glad you could come. And I had no idea who I was meeting at that point. I came to know during the course of that evening that he had served as first vice president in the National Federation of the Blind from 1968 to 1984. And so by the time I met him, he was already 5 years removed from fulfilling his responsibilities as first vice president alongside Dr. Jernigan, who was our national president at that time. If you were a young person, I know we all like to think of ourselves as being young. I'm not as young as I used to be. But if you're really young, if you're in college, for example, you probably barely knew Dr. Capps. And when you met him, he was already, he was an old man. He would have been at least in his upper 80s by the time some of you who are now in our student division came into the National Federation of the Blind. But Dr. Capps wasn't always an old man. He attended his first Federation event at the age of 25. At that time, he was a young man who had just begun a career as an insurance executive. And as a young, up-and-coming blind professional, he was invited to a meeting of the Columbia chapter. And at that time, the leadership of the chapter thought that they would need to implement a strategy to try to get this young, up-and-coming professional to want to come to the meeting. So they invited him to be on the program as a speaker one night. And so he attended his first Federation event because he was invited to speak at the Columbia chapter meeting one night in 1953. And we're so fortunate as blind people that he attended that meeting. He went on through the next 6.5 decades or a little more to literally change our lives as blind people, not only here in South Carolina, but across the country. He was responsible, for example, for bringing into existence the Commission for the Blind, which was established in 1966. He and his brother-in-law, Gene Rogers, a Columbia area attorney, drafted a piece of legislation that was ultimately enacted and signed by Governor McNair in May of 1966. Dr. Capps was also responsible for bringing into existence Rocky Bottom Retreat and Conference Center of the Blind. In the late 1970s, Dr. Capps met Mr. Ralph M. Ellenberg, Sr. It's ironic that those two gentlemen, they became such great friends, and we lost both Dr. Capps and Mr. Ellenberg last November. But their work together brought about Rocky Bottom as we know it, with its facilities. You know the Ellenberg Lodge, but that wasn't the first building on the Rocky Bottom site. We've held numerous conferences at Rocky Bottom, one of which would have been the dedication of the conference center in the early 1990s. As we crammed about 500 people into the dining room that was designed to hold about 300. Governor Carroll Campbell at the time was the keynote speaker when we dedicated the conference center. Dr. Capps was responsible for pieces of legislation in South Carolina that we often take for granted. A jury bill, for example, in 1984, when it occurred to Dr. Capps that you could summarily dismiss a blind person who had been selected for jury duty. There was an assumption that a blind person couldn't weigh the evidence as effectively as a sighted juror could. Dr. Capps didn't believe that at all, and he worked hard along with his colleagues in the National Federation of the Blind to convince the General Assembly to enact legislation that essentially says that a blind person cannot be summarily excused from jury duty. They must have a valid reason, like anybody else. In 1989, when I came into the movement, we were working on legislation that would require that resource instructors in South Carolina who were responsible for teaching blind children. Legislation that would require those professionals to be competent in reading and writing Braille. I think I was very fortunate when I was coming along because my resource instructors that I would see for an hour a day or so, Monday through Friday, they knew Braille. Certainly early on in my career, or during my time as a student. But somewhere along the way, I learned that there were some blind students who did not have the benefit of having a resource instructor that could read or write Braille. And as a result, it became an unfortunate reality that the literacy rate among blind people in terms of reading and writing Braille was as low as 10%. Because many of the teachers across the state couldn't teach their blind students to read and write Braille. Dr. Capps was concerned about that, and he worked along with others of us in the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina to convince the General Assembly to enact legislation that would give blind students an opportunity to learn to read and write. There's no substitute for learning to read and write. I'm going to tell you now what the most important thing, what the priority was for Dr. Capps, who attended Federation meetings until literally just a couple of weeks before his death. In fact, I told you his first meeting in Columbia was in 1953. He attended his last meeting in October of 2019. By that time, it was much harder for him to get to meetings than it had been. But he was there and he wrote his piece in the positive note, which he did for since 1986, he had a weekly entry in the positive note. And during my entire time as state president, we always had space for Dr. Capps to be in the positive note. But he talked about having a meal at the Federation Center in October of 2019. And I think Isaiah and his team prepared breakfast that night for dinner. And sometimes, you know, in South Carolina, people will say, I'm having breakfast for supper. And he loved breakfast. And so it's fitting that his last Federation meal with his Federation family would have been a breakfast meal. The most important thing in the Federation for Dr. Capps was succession to the presidency. He thought that everything else in the Federation sprang from that one kernel in terms of priorities, he thought that the most important thing we could do in the Federation was select the right president. He believed that for the national organization. He believed it at the state level in South Carolina. And he came to be known as one of the most prolific chapter organizers that the National Federation of the Blind has ever known. I'm talking about nationwide. You South Carolinians should be aware, especially the new Federationists, should be aware that Dr. Kepps was known and respected and loved for his work in organizing. He believed that any blind person, no matter what their walk of life, whatever their profession, their background, they would benefit from being involved in the National Federation of the Blind. And he believed that if you organized a chapter, and he taught me how to do this, you've got to find a president. If the president doesn't want to meet, the chapter is not going to be able to do its work. It centers around a president and that person's ability to organize others to take action. The president cannot do it alone, but it cannot get done without a good president. He talked to me a few months before the convention in 2000. He said, invited me to Columbia. He met with me and with David Halleck. The three of us got together in the boardroom, and he said, "Parnell, I'm going to step down this summer, and I'd like for you to consider running for president." And I was honored that he would talk with me about that, and I told him I would be willing to be a candidate and would work as hard as I could. There were others in South Carolina at the time who were qualified to be president, who had the skill set to be president. One of those people was the sitting first vice president in South Carolina, Mr. Koppel. But Dr. Kepps believed in the idea that when we select a president, we select a president that will lead for a generation. We're not talking about 2 years or 4 years. He hoped that we would find a president who would remain in office for a considerable amount of time. As we now know, I was president in South Carolina for 15 years. But he said at the 2000 convention, he said, "This year I'm turning 72. He told the state convention from the podium as he recommended to them that they consider my candidacy. He said, I don't want to be president when I'm 72. At that time, Dr. Kepps could have run for election and would have won probably unanimously. I don't think anyone would have run against Dr. Kepps in 2000. He was very popular and did amazing work in South Carolina and around the country, and at that time was even still on the national board. But he did not want to be president at the age of 72. So I took up the responsibilities of the presidency at the age of 31, but he was by my side the entire 15 years. He was still young enough and healthy enough to figuratively hold my hand and help me get the work done. And the first person, when Dr. Kepps concluded his speech and the morning session of the convention that year ended, I walked outside of the convention hall, and the very first person to come up and shake my hand was Frank Koppel. And he said, I just want you to know that I'm behind you all the way. And he was, and still has been. In 2015, I had an opportunity to become director of government affairs at the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore. And I couldn't pass that opportunity up. It was an honor to have a chance to work in government affairs. I always had a little love of politics, as Everett referred to earlier. And I said to Frank a few months before the convention, you know, I'm planning to go to Baltimore. And after he said, I'm threatened to kill me, but then he relaxed a little bit. He took up the very important responsibility of being president. But he knew that he wouldn't do it for 15 years. His task was to look around for a person who would be qualified to lead us through the next generation. This weekend, he's told us that he is going to step away from the presidency, but he'll still be involved in the National Federation of the Blind, just as I am. I haven't been president now for 5 years, but I'm still here. I'm still a member of the National Federation of the Blind, and I'm just as dedicated and committed as I always have been to doing the work that we need to do to change the quality of life for blind people in a positive way in generations to come. But I think Frank has figured that the organization is now in a position that he can help someone else do the work that needs to be done. And I'll be there too. And you as members, as Mr. President, I get ready to conclude my comments. You members of the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina have a very important responsibility this weekend. You should take it very seriously in terms of the election of a new president. It's an honor to be president of the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina, but it's an unpaid position, and it requires a lot of work. There will be work to be done for the new president as soon as the convention concludes. But whoever that person is, Frank and I will be there. As we look ahead to the coming elections, and I'm not talking about just the presidency, I'm talking about the entire state board. I would just end with a couple of comments about candidacy. Everett mentioned to you that he contributed to a political campaign that I was involved in a number of years ago. I lost when I ran for Attorney General in South Carolina. I've lost a number of elections in the Federation. 1 year I was treasurer, and I lost an election that year. And a gentleman in the Federation at that time walked up, Edsel Doyle. A lot of you will recall Edsel, especially those that have been here for a while. He said, Parnell, keep working with us. And I said, oh, I'll keep working with you. I'm not going anywhere. So that is to say that not everybody this weekend is going to win. But don't take it personally. It's not worth losing your friends over. We need to support those who are given the responsibility of leadership in the Federation and do what we can to be of assistance. And realize that there's so much work to be done. But it starts with the president and then a good team of people to help as we move forward in what Dr. Capps used to say, in this big program of work with the blind to improve the quality of life of blind people everywhere. And so my tribute to him has been to discuss the most important priority for Dr. Capps, which was succession to the presidency. And I appreciate the opportunity that you've given me, Mr. President, to have this coffee talk this Saturday morning with my Federation family. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Parnell. Awesome speech as usual, and thank you so much for those kind words. But Parnell and I have stayed friends while he was gone. I really miss Parnell. The first three or so years that he was gone, working in Cincinnati, working in Baltimore. I, for one, am sure glad he's back here in South Carolina.